New Mexico, along the Continental Divide, literally miles from anywhere, stands a vacation home of a very special man. He was christened Warren Worthington III, heir apparent to one of the business world's larger fortunes. But to his visitors, he will always be known as Angel, a founding member of the X-Men, named for his chiseled, cut form, his blonde locks, but mostly for his mutant set of angelic white bird wings.
Scott. Jean. Long time no see.
Hey, Warren.
Hey there. Thanks for having us over. Looking good, Blondie?
You're not looking too bad yourself, for a dead woman.
You heard about that, huh?
Yes. When one of your best friends dies and comes back as a cosmic being, yes, people do talk. And by people, of course, I mean Hank. Who told Bobby? Who told me? And besides, that Firebird of yours, it keeps making the news.
We didn't mean to keep you out of the loop.
Hey, I get it. You've been busy.
Kinda why I'm here. Can we talk?
Sure. Look, come inside. My home is your home.
And so, moments later, the group sit at the dining table inside, relaying details over hot cups of coffee.
So, some people are trying to kill the X-Men. What else is new? I mean, apart from the fact that they have robot armor suits and hovercrafts.
Exactly. How did they afford that kind of off-the-books tech? That's borderline Trask-level stuff.
When I fought Emma Frost, I scanned her mind. I got only a piece, but together with what I got from the hired guns, these are some of the most rich and powerful people on Earth. Have been since it was founded hundreds of years ago. I don't know how long they've been into attacking mutants, but if Miss Frost is anything to go on, some of them are mutants.
And does this group have a name?
The Hellfire Club.
The same group my ancestor joined in the past. That can't be a coincidence. I should tell them. Ah, damn it! These two are my closest friends. Why can't I tell them? It's like I have a mental block whenever I open my mouth to try.
The Hellfire Club? Are you sure? I'm a member.
What?
It's just an old, stuffy, risque rich club. You have to have 10 million in your bank account just to get in the door. I hated it, but it's no Mutant Hunters Club.
But if the White Queen was a telepath...
I know what you're thinking, but they didn't get their info on the X-Men from me.
There has to be a leak somewhere, Warren. These people know our powers, our plans, the way we fight, the way we think. It's why we came here, instead of asking you to come back to the school.
Scott, Xavier does whatever he can to cover that place up. But we both know we've never been exactly discreet in our saving a world that hates us stuff. Most of us don't even have masks. Any amount of digging could...
It's more than that. The professor and the team are looking for bugs, but until they find them, I don't think the mansion is a safe place anymore.
What about this White Queen?
She's out of the picture.
You killed her?
I destroyed the building. She was nowhere to be found.
But nobody?
Honestly, if the Phoenix atomized her, I doubt there would be much left.
Aren't you the Phoenix?
Well, yes and no.
Uh-huh.
That night, Scott Summers and Jean Grey settle into Warren Worthington's guest room, the two old male friends having a moment alone in the hallway.
Did she actually kill that woman, Scott?
I don't know. But it wouldn't be out of character lately, to be honest.
That doesn't scare you?
A bit. But she was evil, and it's Jean, Warren.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't... It's all just so crazy. None of it makes sense. I just... It's so hard to keep up. Maybe I'm just...
Warren, trust me. It's her. I'd know.
Okay. Good night, Scott.
Good night.
Scott Summers heads into the guest room, shutting the door and heading for the bed just as Jean emerges from the ensuite bathroom.
You're brooding again.
It's what I do.
We'll beat them. We always do. Now, bedtime.
Yeah, you're right. Sleep. That's what I need.
Who said anything about sleep?
Jean now sits on the bed across from him, lifting up her arms and grabbing his ruby quartz sunglasses, pulling to remove them.
Don't.
Don't what?
Close your eyes.
Are you crazy? I
got it.
She now takes the red shades from his face and tosses them aside. Scott Summers keeps his eyes closed tight.
Open your eyes, Scott.
You know I can't.
Yes, you can. I'm holding back your optic blasts with my powers. Trust me.
Jean.
Trust me, Scott.
The man codenamed Cyclops exhales and finally opens his eyes. The red glow that has perpetually been there since his adolescence, fading until Scott's eyes return to their natural blue, the color they were the day he was born.
There you are. You have beautiful eyes, Scott.
My God. I can see you. Really see you. Your eyes. They're green. I never...
Shh. No more talking.
They embrace in a kiss, falling back onto the bed. The next day, the two X-Men and their old teammate return home to the Xavier Mansion.
Warren, good to see you.
Likewise, Professor. Listen, about leaving...
Say nothing of it. I understood then as I do now. You needed to be your own man, and from what I have heard, you have done just that.
Did you find anything?
Cerebro. It had recording equipment embedded into it that recorded everything we said and did at every interface. I have taken the unit offline until we can be sure the network is secure.
Warhawk?
No doubt. It would seem he was working for them all along. Combine that with anything Emma Frost might have gotten from you, Warren. They had everything they needed.
But without Cerebro, Professor...
Indeed. I won't be able to extend my powers to keep in contact with you much further than a few miles. If you carry out this plan of yours, then I'm afraid we will have to resort to more human methods of communication.
I may have a few earpieces.
Hank!
The three look up as Hank McCoy enters the study.
I called him in as soon as we began to suspect bugs.
Yeah, how I missed that when I fixed the things. It was just so small.
Nobody blames you, Hank. The important thing is that you found it.
All we need now is Bobby.
He is not answering his phone.
You mentioned a plan.
Yeah, it's risky, but I think it's worth it. The Hellfire Club are having a party tonight to celebrate its latest birthday. And it just so happens we know a member who can get us on that guest list. Obviously, we'd have to go in undercover. So, only those that can pass as humans. No offense, Hank.
None taken. It doesn't seem like my kind of party anyway.
But like I said, without Cerebro, if our technology fails, you will be on your own.
We've handled that plenty of times before, Professor.
It's just surveillance. They know everything about us. So I think it's time we return the favor.
As the sun sets, the X-Men prepare. Jean Grey dressing in her best black dress and jewelry. She needs to look the part, after all. She now admires herself in the mirror while applying the last gold earring.
Looking good, Red.
Jean turns with a start, seeing Wolverine in her bedroom doorway.
And you're still in your Wolverine costume, Logan. Don't you think you should change as well?
Don't need to. I ain't going to the party, Jeannie. Me and Crawler got other orders. In case this, surveillance thing doesn't work out. Jean, I mean it. You look amazing.
Don't.
Don't what?
You know what. I'm taken.
He ain't you, Jean. Not this new you. The way you took down Frost. What you did to Carmen Pride. That's all new. I like this new you better. We'd make a good pair. No more geeks, no more X-Men. Just you and me and... so much fun.
You better get ready.
With that, she reaches out and physically slams the door shut on him.
In another life, Logan. In another life.
Jean now looks back to the mirror, but the reflection that stares back at her is not her own, but that of Jason Wingard. Later that evening, in the concrete jungle of Manhattan, on Fifth Avenue stands the legendary Hellfire Club. Tonight's birthday celebration is one of the most exclusive parties the Big Apple has ever seen. The guest list includes some of the richest, most powerful men and women in the world, whose wealth outstrips many countries. All are looking forward to a pleasant, decadent evening. In a storm sewer roughly 20 feet below the street, a pair of would-be gatecrashers are making their way towards the club.
Water's rising, Elf. We got much farther to go.
According to my phone's map, we're almost there, Wolverine. These power and communication cables all service the club. That is a lot of power for one building.
Yeah.
Extended by mental command from the backs of his hands, Wolverine's adamantium claws gleam in their torchlight.
Wolverine! What?
Relax, Elf. All I did was strip the insulation off the power lines. When the water hits them, they'll short out. Probably blow every light in the club. If something goes wrong tonight, a surprise blackout could come in handy.
Not bad, mein Freund.
Nightcrawler smiles his devilish grin and brings his free hand up to his ear to press the comm unit there.
Nightcrawler to Cyclops. We are in position and ready to make our move.
And, in a limousine parked just around the corner, sits Jean Grey, Aurora Monroe, Peter Rasputin, and Scott Summers.
Roger. Nightcrawler, we are heading into the party. Professor?
I'm on the line.
I'll monitor the frequency. Make sure we don't get tapped.
Shame you can't join us, Warren. It's your invitation.
I went to that place once, and once was enough. Besides, they know who I am. It's best not to tip them off right away.
Will my head and Cyclops' eyewear not do that?
Like I said, right away.
The X-Men head out of the car, getting past the doormen and inside the foyer of the Hellfire Club itself. Once they cross the threshold, it is as if they have stepped back in time. Every piece of furniture, every fitting, Regency and design. The attendants and waiters all dressed in period-appropriate clothing, complete with long, white, plaited wigs and calf-high leggings. As an attendant dressed as a maid takes his coat, Colossus feels like a stranger in a strange land.
I have never worn clothes as fine as these. They feel marvelous. Yet, it does not feel right to wear a suit that cost more than my father earns in an entire year. It has been so long since I have been home. I miss it more each day.
Senses alert for the slightest hint of danger, Colossus and Storm move into the club's main hall, looking out at the crowd.
Aurora, even I have heard of some of the people here. Some are even my countrymen. How could such as they plot to destroy the X-Men?
That's what we are here for, Peter. We are both bait and trap. Lucky us.
A few moments later, Jean Grey and Scott Summers make their entrance into the club.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I wonder how long that'll last.
Not long indeed. For, in a secret room within the club, a man watches the camera feed of the entrance hall. His interest piqued when he saw the Russian and the goddess. But upon seeing the two new arrivals, he and those with him have their total attention towards the screen.
Sure. All of you, look. It's them. The X-Men are indeed here.
His name is Donald Pierce, a long-haired blonde gentleman dressed in Regent finery. With him is Harry Leland, a heavy-set gentleman with bow-tied ponytail, full beard and cane, Sebastian Shaw, the black-haired mutton-chopped Black King, and Jason Wingard, the newest member. Together, along with the absent Emma Frost, they form the nucleus of the Hellfire Club, the Inner Circle, a secret society dedicated to the acquisition of power in all its myriad forms.
So I see. Wingard, for weeks now, you've been boasting that Miss Grey is yours, body and soul. Tonight is your chance to prove it. She can lead our attack on the X-Men.
It will be done.
I hope so, for your sake.
Back on the main floor, at the party, Jean and Scott try to fit in, joining other couples in a slow dance.
I've scanned every mind in this room, Scott. They're all perfectly normal.
It's still early. And by the way, I like the dress.
I thought you would.
Pardon me, sir. May I cut in?
Hey!
Before either can protest, Jason Wingard gathers Jean in his arms and sweeps her away. As he does, he reaches into Jean's mind, and once more turns the clock back over 200 years. So far as Jean is concerned, she is Lady Jean Grey, and she is dancing with a man she loves more than life itself, her husband. The man she just left behind is nothing more than a low-class rogue.
What the? Hey, wait! You're the guy from the dance club! Hey!
He yells after them as Wingard begins leading Jean away from the dance floor and upstairs. Scott follows, barging past angry dancers and crowd. Finally, when he reaches the stairs, the two are already heading up the flight.
Jean! Hey, where are you going? Wait!
She does not answer, ignoring him. Scott's anger grows as he heads up after them.
How charming. The stalwart hero out to rescue his damsel fair. Not this time, Cyclops.
As the words leave his lips, the mask drops for a split second. But in that split second, Scott Summers sees a familiar face. In that moment, Scott remembers the shadow he saw cast from his car's headlights upon Jason Wingard the night he met Dazzler. The shadow of the man whose face he just saw. One that matches the name he remembers Jean speaking more than a few times. She called him Jason, but Scott knows him as
Mastermind.
He curses himself for not seeing it then, but he was in a hurry with far more immediate worries on his mind, and so he made a mistake. He rushes after them, chasing them up the stairs and into a room there, but it is too late. Scott Summers falls to a blinding psychic blast from Jean Grey, her powers forming her dress into a black corset and cape attire befitting the Black Queen of the Hellfire Club.
Magnificent, my love. But the club did want him and the other X-Men alive.
Worry not, Jason. If your Black Queen had wanted the intruder dead, he would be.
Down below, the crowd are stirred at the sound of the screams. Peter and Aurora alerted by it as well.
Aurora, did you hear that?
That sounded like Cyclops. And the power sounded like those of Phoenix. Upstairs, Colossus, now!
The two take off, running for the stairs. Aurora flying upon the winds. Peter ripping through his very expensive suit as he steals up. The crowd scream and scatter.
What's happening, X-Men? There seems interference. Losing patience.
The two X-Men run up the stairs, only to be greeted by Sebastian Shaw.
Hello, X-Men. I am Sebastian Shaw. I advise you surrender. Now, I do not wish to hurt you.
Hurt, little man? Do not make me laugh.
Colossus swings and clocks Shaw across the jaw. Not enough force to kill the man, but enough to knock him cold. But Shaw stands strong, a grin upon his face as he looks back at Peter.
Lenin's ghost.
My turn.
With ease, Shaw blasts Colossus in return, sending him flying across the upper floor hall. Peter crashes through a table behind him.
You're not the only one with gifts. Anything you throw at me simply makes me stronger.
Storm now tries her chances, blasting Shaw with a lightning blast.
Are you deaf, woman?
As Storm's eyes grow wide, Shaw reaches down and grabs Peter, heaving him over his head and throwing him at her. She barely manages to fly to avoid it, creating a fog in the hall to blind Shaw and try to escape.
Forgive me, Peter. I will return. I need to find help.
Elsewhere in the basement below, Wolverine has carved Nightcrawler and himself a hole in the floor in which to enter the building from the sewer.
We're in! That last bit of radio from the professor sounded bad. Might be nothing.
Or everything.
Whoa!
Kurt hasn't a second to react as Donald Pierce grabs him and lifts him up by the throat. The grip is like a steel vice. Nightcrawler, unable to concentrate enough to teleport out of it.
Elf!
Wolverine extends his claws, slashing them right through Pierce's arm. But instead of blood, there are sparking wires and circuits.
Holy crap, you're a damn robot!
I'm a cyborg, you
uncultured cretin!
Pierce continues to hold Nightcrawler with his damaged arm and throws back a punch to send Wolverine flying with the other. But Wolverine stands, a one-sided grin on his face.
Yeah? I know all about cyborgs, bub. Almost was made one myself. Let's see whose metal wins out, because I'm betting it ain't yours.
Sorry, I can't allow that, dear boy.
Wolverine looks to the doorway where Harry Leland now emerges, brandishing his cane.
Try and stop me, Tubby.
The name's Harry Leland, and your challenge is accepted.
What? I'm getting heavier. Can't move. Can barely stand. What's the Fatso doing to me?
Haven't you X-Men learned by now that you aren't the only mutants in the world? My talent involves mass. I can make anything or anyone as light or as heavy as I please.
Must weigh a ton. The ground barely holding me. He's making me heavier every second. Strain's killing me. But I can't. I won't give up.
In the end, however, it's not Wolverine who yields, but the floor beneath him. Wolverine crashes through it, down further and further below every layer is ground beneath, until he crashes and sinks into the sewer waters far beneath. Above, Storm flies, trying to find anyone, raise anyone. She fails.
I tried blasting the windows. They had no effect. The glass must be made of something my lightning cannot breach. Only one way left. Down the stairs and out the front door.
Hello again.
No!
Storm cries out as Shaw grabs her by the ankle.
My ankle! If he tightens his grip, he will crush it!
She swings a kick with her free leg into his face. No effect. Shaw grabs her cape and throws her to the carpeted floor.
I gave you a chance to yield. I would have shown mercy, but you resisted. Now pay the price.
Shaw blasts Storm with a mighty blow, knocking her out cold. He stands, a smile on his face as he now grabs her cape and drags her by it towards the Inner Circle's secret chambers.
It's been quite a long time since I exercised my mutant ability. I'd forgotten how good it felt.
It is not long before the entire Inner Circle gather in their private room, complete with their newest member and their trophies, the defeated X-Men, piled up on the floor beneath them.
We should have done this sooner. I didn't know beating the X-Men would be so easy. How's your arm, Pierce?
It was just a scratch, Shaw. Easily repaired. I'm fine now.
Scratch? Ha! Wolverine cut through your bionic arm like it was made of butter.
Wingard speaks, handing out gold goblets of wine.
Jason, we've just won a splendid victory. Why spoil it with harsh words?
Black Queen speaks true, Wingard. Be of good cheer, or be silent.
And the rest of the club? They are scared out of their minds after seeing the X-Men here.
I took care of it. They are none the wiser.
Ours was a group effort, Wingard. A group victory. We all did our part.
Of course. But just remember that it was my wife that was the key to our victory.
We could have won without her.
Is that so? Perhaps I'll simply release my hold on her then. See how long you last.
That's enough of that. As chairman of the Inner Circle, I propose a toast to the Hellfire Club. To our Black Queen. Long may she reign.
Long may she reign.
But Shaw speaks too soon. Far below, a blue-gloved hand bursts from the water and grabs a pipe. Wolverine pulling himself up out of the water at last. His mass now normal. For him, anyway.
Okay, suckers. You've taken your best shot. Now, it's my turn.
Above, in the finely furnished stateroom of the Inner Circle, the X-Men are now shackled to a far wall. Power-suppressing collars snapped onto their necks.
Where did you get such devices, Shaw? I thought they were Trask tech, and they have been out of business for years.
Genosha, my good friend, It would appear that after what happened to them at the hands of Magneto and his Brotherhood, they have taken steps to ensure they are never threatened by mutants again. It's quite a fearing, hateful place these days. I hear they even have mutant internment camps.
Good thing no one outside this room knows you are one then, Shaw.
Indeed.
From beneath his shackles, Peter watches with sad, confused eyes as he watches Jean once again embrace Jason Wingard with a passionate kiss. It is just as well Cyclops' binds include a metal blindfold and gag.
I do not understand. In my heart, I know that is Jean Grey, but...
Yet she isn't, Peter.
What have they done to her?
Scott Summers' yells are muffled by his gag as he tries to speak what he knows.
If I could speak, Nightcrawler, I'd tell you.
And indeed, in the mind of Jean Grey, this is not the 21st century, but the 18th. She is Lady Grey, and these are her prisoners. Slaves and common thieves that now must answer to the Hellfire Club's justice. She approaches Aurora, too.
I expected better of you. In all of these years, never have I mistreated you.
What?
I trusted you, only to see that trust betrayed. Is this what you want?
She holds up Storm's headdress, her lockpicks inside, but in Jean's mind, they are a set of large brass keys.
The keys to your freedom? You and your companions?
Jean, this isn't you. Listen to me. We are your friends.
She cries out as Jean slaps her across the face with a backhand.
Silence! You dare speak to me in that tone. I am not your friend. I am your mistress. I own you, all of you. And as by my right, mine will be the hand that ends your worthless existence.
Let her alone, curse you!
As Kurt's modern slang is twisted into words more fitting of the face Jean sees, Cyclops only has to hear what is happening to know it is time to act. He remembers the many times he spent with Jean, and what she said many years ago about establishing a permanent psychic rapport between them. He uses that now, trying to reach her mind.
Jean, Jean, hear me. Remember me. Remember us.
Why prolong this? Why are we still alive?
Because there's no profit in killing you, Mr. Wagner. We can sell you to the highest bidder. Magneto, the government, Genosha. So many enemies you have made over the years.
We are your own kind!
Indeed. But they don't know that.
Back at Xavier's, he scrambled Angel the moment he lost contact, leaving Beast with him just in case their base was attacked.
Any luck?
No. Everything in that club is being jammed. Nothing I can do from here.
Angel will reach Manhattan within the hour. We just have to pray that the X-Men can hold out until help arrives.
If I know the X-Men, they will already be on top of things.
One of them is, anyway. At that moment, in the Hellfire Club's basement, Wolverine is holding himself up between the wooden ceiling beams, as below him the masked soldiers of the Hellfire Club search for evidence of his demise.
This is pointless. We've been searching for over an hour. He's dead. We're wasting our time here.
We should still search the...
The hired gun looks at his outstretched arm as drops of water patter onto it.
Water? Look! The ceiling!
Surprise!
Wolverine leaps down from the ceiling onto the three, bringing both claws down into one with the landing.
No. No. Stay back!
The second goes down, leaving just the third, who holds his gun up at their attacker, shaking like a leaf.
Don't move, fella!
Hey, bub. I know what you're thinking. He's hurt. He's 5 meters away from me, and I got a full clip of ammo in my rifle. Question is, can I kill Wolverine before he can reach me and cut me into shish kebab with those freaky claws of his? Well, bub, Wolverine is virtually unkillable. My claws are adamantium, the strongest metal known, capable of slicing through that armor of yours like a hot knife through butter. And 5 meters of floor ain't much distance at all. For me. Your move, punk.
Huh?
Damn. Was hoping you'd go for it.
Wolverine pounces for him anyway.
Huh? Hey, no! I surrender!
He now grabs the goon by his neck and holds him up above his head.
Ah, don't worry, I ain't gonna kill you. It might not even hurt you. Provided you tell me who these Hellfire hotshots you work for are, and where I can find the X-Men.
Meanwhile, Scott Summers continues to try to break through, use his unique psychic rapport with Jean to reach her. He tries time and time again, yelling her name in his head hundreds of times, until, finally, white, and then he is walking, dressed, but not as Scott Summers, not even as Cyclops, but as an 18th century revolutionary.
What? What is this? Where am I? Is this Jean's mind?
He continues to walk until he sees a house, or at least a window and a door of one, with steps leading up to them. It opens as he approaches, the shadow of a woman in the doorway forming into the shape of Jean Grey, still dressed as the Black Queen.
Jean, it's me.
Do I know you, sir? Your voice is familiar, but your garb marks you as an American rebel, King George's enemy, and mine.
It's me, Scott. Try to remember. Scott Summers, the X-Men.
You're wasting your time, boy. You or your X-Men mean nothing to my lady wife.
Mastermind.
Wingard's the name.
Be gone from this place, sir, or my husband will cut you down where you stand.
Wingard draws his sword. Scott does the same, pulling one from his belt as though it were his weapon of common choice.
How did you take control of her mind? Your powers are of illusion, not telepathy.
Wingard!
The two swords meet in a cross, the two gentlemen doing battle. They have done this dance before, but never with swords.
How?
And why should I tell you that?
Was it Emma Frost? Did she aid you in this? Is she still alive?
You had better watch yourself.
You have learned your sword quickly, but not quick enough to save you.
Downstairs, Wolverine has made his way up to the main floor, making his entrance as only he can, tossing a yelling guard onto the dance floor.
Out of my way, folks! Stay back and you won't get hurt!
Guards! That's as far as you go.
Come peacefully, little man. Or in pieces. Your choice.
Oh, I'd love for you to try, buddy.
As Logan does battle in our world, on the astral plane, Scott Summers and Jason Wingard continue to clash swords.
No matter how hard I try, Mastermind keeps pushing me back. I see it as him blocking every swing. But in my head, I feel it for what it is. He's beating back my mental barriers. Getting into my mind. He's winning.
Scott cries out as his sword flies from his hand.
If I were a chivalrous man, Cyclops, I would allow you to surrender. But I am not chivalrous. And our duel was to the death.
Wingard drives his sword into Scott's chest. And in the real world, his body falls and lays still on the ground.
Scott, Cyclops, what is happening, my friends?
He's still. He's not breathing. I think he's dead.
There is a long moment until, finally, Scott Summers breathes again.
He's alive!
A pity. I thought that would work. Ah well, it will have to be the old-fashioned way then.
Behind him, Jean steps away, seeming to look at each face of the X-Men one by one, studying them, then scowls and looks away.
What is all that commotion out there?
I don't know, but I left strict instructions that we weren't to be disturbed.
The double wooden door to the room is no more, and from it crashes through Wolverine with two Hellfire guards holding on to his back. Each of them is thrown off and to Shaw's feet. Logan raises his claws towards the group.
Evening, folks. The name's Wolverine, and we got some unfinished business to settle. Leland, you said you had killed him.
I thought I did.
Do I have to do everything? Finish him off, won't you, my dear?
Jean Grey's arms reach up high, her black cape swooping higher as she reaches out with all of her telekinetic might.
Jean, no!
And the mutant collar on Scott's neck goes dark.
Huh?
He dares not take a moment to question it. Instead, quickly blasting the mask from his face, the beam traveling the room. Then blasts his friends free as well.
What is this? How did they...
Jean,
What did you do?
Cyclops wastes no time.
When they ambushed us, Sean's inner circle threw us off balance, striking us so hard and so fast that by the time we knew what was going on, we were beaten. Let's see what happens when the shoe is on the other foot.
He blasts Donald Pierce in the back of the head, and then Harry Leland through the far wall. And over the balcony down into the dance floor below.
Two down!
Genie, after I heard what happened, I...
Go, Wolverine, now!
Glad to have you back. Hey! Leland!
Wolverine heads over to the broken balcony and peers down at the rising foe down there, as the fearful, wealthy horde around him scatter.
You owe me a rematch, bub. And I'm here to collect with interest.
Back in the room, Sebastian Shaw readies himself for battle with calm grin on his face.
Not bad. But we beat you X-Men once, and we can do it again. Go ahead, any of you. Hit me. See what happens.
Who said I was gonna hit you, Shaw?
Cyclops blasts the floor beneath Shaw's feet.
What?
Happy landings!
And Shaw falls to the ground floor, far below.
Shaw! Shaw!
Do not worry about your leader, Comrade Pierce.
What?
Pierce calls out as Peter lifts him up with one arm.
You have problems enough of your own.
Unhand me, lout!
Colossus feels the strike, even through his steel form, as the cyborg Pierce strikes him back, and then dives down the hole in the floor and away.
Peter, are you hurt?
Do not worry, Nightcrawler. My pride is hurt worse than my body.
After them. Colossus, you take Pierce. Nightcrawler and Storm, go after Shaw. Leave Mastermind to me.
Scott turns back to find his target, but Wingard nor Jean Grey are anywhere to be seen. Back on the balcony, Wolverine now finally leaps.
Heads up, Tubby!
Desperately, instinctively, Harry Leland lashes out with his mutant power, increasing Wolverine's mass geometrically as he falls.
No!
Too late, Leland realizes that that's the last thing he should have done.
No!
Below in the basement, Colossus tangles with Donald Pierce. The two locked up in a test of strength, and Colossus is losing, falling to his knees under the robotic might.
Ah!
You are a hateful man, Donald Pierce. You attacked my friends. You hurt them. You wanted me as your prisoner, your pet, perhaps even dead. And for what? Because I am Russian. Because I am mutant.
As Colossus speaks, he slowly rises, now standing over his foe. Pierce's gears pushing with all their might in vain as he is overpowered. His arms snap. Break.
I am proud of what I am, little man. At least I was born this way. I am more human than you will ever be.
In a last-ditch effort, Pierce brings his broken stub of wires up into Peter's eyes, blinding him with the sparks. It takes Colossus a few seconds to recover, and when his vision finally clears, Pierce is gone. Elsewhere, Shaw and Nightcrawler do a similar dance, Kurt seeming to get the upper hand with a few fast, ported blows, but eventually Shaw catches his pattern and catches him.
Enough!
He throws Kurt to the ground, standing over him ready to finish the job. But before he can, he begins to grow cold.
Fear not, Kurt. I will handle it from here. Let us see if you can absorb the cold chill of Arctic wind, Shaw.
Shaw tries to move, tries to reach her, but he grows weaker by the second, unable to adapt to the cold. He thinks quickly, grabbing Nightcrawler and throwing him at Storm.
Whoa!
As the two recover, Shaw takes his chance to slip away. It is not long before he reaches his club's secret tunnels and finds Donald Pierce.
Shaw, I've been searching everywhere for you. We're beaten, man. Beaten!
I know.
How can you be so calm?
I've lost battles before, Pierce. The war goes on. We'll learn from tonight's mistakes. And next time, things will be very different.
Upstairs, Scott Summers is looking far and wide for his target, and his lover amongst the remaining club guests.
Where are they? With Mastermind's power, they could be anyone in this crowd. Why are they all running away from me?
But what Cyclops does not see is the mental projection Mastermind is creating. That of he blasting his optic beams at them all, attacking them. Then, suddenly, the lights blowing out as the water in the sewers finally reaches the exposed power lines, the Hellfire Club now plunged into darkness.
What now? The lights?
Wolverine strikes a match, illuminating himself and Cyclops with the flame.
Yeah, something I prepared earlier, leader man.
Wolverine, what happened to Leland?
Don't ask.
Get the others. We're getting out of here. I need to find Jean.
In a dark room, Jason Wingard watches from the shadows.
The Hellfire Club did their best. Shame it wasn't good enough. How did I lose her?
She stands, motionless behind him, a shadow among shadows, feeling dark fire consume her soul. Her face is supernaturally calm. Her face lies. Jean Grey is terrified, more afraid now than she's ever been, because she knows what is happening to her, and she cannot stop it. She will enjoy what happens next, and, realizing that, she weeps.
How? You made a mistake, Jason. You slew the man I loved before my eyes. Instead of severing my last connection with the X-Men, that acted like a bucket of ice water in my face. Instead of enslaving me forever, you shocked me awake. You set me free. Too late.
No! I compensated for that. My power should have...
Your power is nothing! You! Do you have any idea what you have done?
She reaches out, throwing him across the floor as she is engulfed in the flames of the Phoenix.
Jean! No, wait, please!
You came to me when I was vulnerable! You filled the emotional void within me! You made me trust you! Perhaps even love you! And all the while you were using me!
Jean! No more! I beg you! You're killing me!
I will do a lot worse than that, Mastermind. But first, I want to know how you did it. How?
Emma Frost, she and I combined our powers. After she vanished, I didn't need her. You came right to our doorstep.
You gave me all I secretly wanted and used that to destroy me. It's only fair I return the compliment. You want power? I'll show you power. I shall grant your wish.
No, please, no.
I'll give you power, Jason Wingard, such as no living being has ever dreamed of.
At Jean's touch, his mind expands at the speed of thought, racing instantly from one side of reality to the other, through all the infinite reaches of space and time. She gives him everything she now knows. He screams, unable to cope. He runs, unable to escape. He drowns. He is, after all, only human. A man of limited awareness, limited power, limited ability. Transformed in a twinkling into a god. She could handle the experience. Some people can't. Jason Wingard, now, once again in his true mastermind form, falls to the ground, a comatose vegetable.
Enjoy your trip, Jason. You won't be coming back. In a way, I envy you. You're at peace. Phoenix doesn't know the meaning of the word.
She strides from the room. The obsidian flames burn brighter within her, and, in the distance, she hears music, a symphony of power long sought and well remembered. Transfixed by an inhuman joy, her burning soul spreads its wings and soars towards a destiny that will no longer be denied.
Jean!
She does not hear him as he runs towards her.
Jean! I've been searching all over for you. Are you okay?
No. No, I'm not.
What?
The X-Men now regroup behind their allies.
We're all here, leader man. Let's move. Is she... okay? Jeannie?
Jean? Jean, what is wrong?
In the sky above, Warren Worthington, the Angel, finally arrives on the scene, just in time to see a huge explosion of fire from the Hellfire Club. He looks on wide-eyed, as do the cowering, confused X-Men below, as the Phoenix rises into the night sky. The flames burn, the calm green costume now transforming into a blood red.
Hear me, X-Men! No longer am I the woman you knew. I am fire and life incarnate. Now and forever, I am Phoenix!
X-Men, the audio drama, The Dark Phoenix Saga, Episode 4, Hellfire. Starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey and Dark Phoenix, Omri Rose as Scott Summers Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Stephen Chesterton as Beast and Colossus, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Keith Seymour as Angel, Pierce and Leland, Ryan Craig as Sebastian Shaw, Tommy Grabietz as Jason Wingard, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, John Anderson as Guards and Hellfire Goons, Gene Schaefer as the first Hellfire Goon. Original score by Declan Gilgallon. Written by Chris Claremont and Carl Dutton. Adapted from Uncanny X-Men by Chris Claremont and John Byrne. Sound effects source from freesound.org and pon5.com. Edited and produced by Carl Dutton. X-Men is the copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a fan, no profit production, no infringement intended. Next time, Dark Phoenix.